This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
We love that, educated educators talking education, or as we said last week, that's ED cubed, ED cubed. It is Busted Pencils, and it's fully leaded education talk. Number right away, though, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Give us a call early, but you're going to start here. A little reminiscing, okay? People have said, Busted Pencils, where did it come from? What was the idea? Just a quick little history lesson. Busted Pencils was the, one of these things where I said I wanted to create a education talk show that my neighbor could listen to and go, oh, I finally get that. And it wouldn't be NPR, and it would also kind of follow punk rock attitudes in that it would put forth this idea of liberation. And so I was thinking about this punk rock in education. How are they connected? Punk rock and education may not have an obvious connection, but they can both be seen as ways to challenge societal norms and authority. Punk rock often incorporates themes of rebellion and nonconformity, while education can empower individuals to think for themselves and question the status quo. Some punk rock musicians have even used their music as a means of promoting education and critical thinking, addressing social and political issues in their lyrics. Additionally, punk rock and education both place a value on individual expression and creativity, which can be seen as ways to subvert the dominant culture and push for change. Wow. I just didn't write that right now. In fact, that was produced with artificial intelligence. When I asked the artificial intelligence to make a comparison between punk rock and education, that was the text that it produced. Our special guest tonight, return guest, John Warner. Oh man, author extraordinaire, writing critiquer, writing teacher. John, you've been writing about this artificial intelligence. Very specifically, the one that we're using here is ChatGPT. It is an artificial intelligence, and it's from open source. Is that the, John, give
open,
it a little back.
Open AI.
Okay, open artificial intelligence, open AI. It's a free trial right now. You can mess around with it and go in. John, what do you think about that artificial intelligence construction of the comparison between punk rock and education?
I mean, it's okay. It's, you know, one of the things that has people freaking out about this is that the chatbot can produce kind of very standard, unspectacular writing that would get like a B- or a B, because it is fundamentally, I won't use the full word here because we're on the radio, but it's fundamentally a BSer.
Right.
It has no knowledge of anything. It's not sorting information. It's not evaluating anything. It's purely a pattern matching algorithm that is trained to produce English syntax. It can do it in other languages too, but it's just kind of arranging words in a pattern the same way it would arrange pixels in a picture. It does not have any appreciation of these things. And so depending on the prompt and depending on the subject, it may give you something that sounds reasonable. Sometimes it'll give you something that sounds reasonable that's totally wrong also.
Okay.
There's no filter around quality. Like I asked it to describe John Warner's approach to teaching writing in The Writer's Practice, and it was entirely wrong. It clearly had no, it was not accessing any information based on my actual approach. It just went and got some generic information about writing that it attached to me. So it was perfectly fluent prose, which is often one of the things that teachers value in their students' writing. So it's the kind of thing where you'd pat that kid on the head, give them their B minus, and move along.
Well, okay. So, John, we're going to mess with ChatGPT though today and talk about teaching, learning, the whole thing, the artificial intelligence. So our guest tonight on Busted Pencils is John Warner. He's a writer, speaker, and editor. You can check out his blogs and Inside Higher Education, his newest books, Why They Can't Write, Killing the Five Paragraph Essay and Other Necessities, and The Writer's Practice, Building Confidence in Your Nonfiction Writing. John, I just wanted to put those credentials out there because, you know, we're going to talk about this from the education standpoint, because this was pretty much what you say released to the public last week. Right. It's been out there, but the idea, everybody's out there messing with it. And on social media, particularly educators, you know, as a whole, but very specifically people who teach writing, watching your colleagues going back and forth with each other about what the future of teaching writing will mean now that I can say, construct me a relatively decent paragraph that compares punk rock and education, and boom, out comes a pretty darn good B minus, which, you know what, sometimes I was shooting for C plus. The idea of getting a B minus, man, that's over the moon. It puts it out there. And so there are so many potential implications for teaching and learning. The first, what you might say, reaction was, oh my, this is the end of teaching writing. John Warner, tell me why it's not the end of teaching writing.
Well, you know, it's important to understand when people say something like it's the end of teaching writing, or it's the end of, you know, there's a number of articles that said it's the end of high school English.
Right.
Is what are they describing when they say it's the end of this thing? And really what they're describing is the ability of this artificial intelligence to create a passable kind of very standard student essay from a canned prompt, like write an essay about the role of the importance of justice in the novel To Kill a Mockingbird or something like that. If that is what we're going to ask students to do, the ChatGPT can crank out an infinite number of versions of that essay, none of which will be the same, each one taking no more than a few seconds to produce. So if that is something that the AI can do, the valid question is, well, why do we want students to do that? My view, and this is a view that predates the existence of ChatGPT AI, is why were we asking students to do that in the first place? Why were we asking students to write like algorithms rather than human beings? And so I don't want to say I'm hopeful about what this means, because I'm aware of how the world works, and there's some people who are right now creating the Common Core standardized test aligned ChatGPT that will write it, that will grade it, that will make all of us no longer necessary to the system. But what I'm encouraged by with the freakouts is people really are like, oh my goodness, why are we asking students to do this if this technology can produce this? Why, what is, that's a question that we probably should have been asking and answering much more often, but finally it's been surfaced in a much larger way.
Well, that's it. You say, you know, we've talked about this before, you've been on the show, the kind of problems with, you know, just teaching writing and the dilemma I think I shared with you. In fact, my son, when he was in fifth grade, being, you know, asked to write for, at that time, the No Child Left Behind writing prompt for a fifth grader. His writing prompt was to talk about or explain something about the best time you had with your family. And he began his paragraph with woohoo, !! Let me tell you about the best family vacation I ever had. And we got called into the teacher's office and they said, look, if Luke does that, he's not going to pass the No Child Left Behind writing prompt, because right away, woo-hoo, Tim and Luke is not a sentence, and that's not what we're looking for. So I think about that, right? And what you're saying, John, is that what we have from ChatGPT is the ability to know not to start a sentence with woo-hoo, because we know that according to the grading rubric or whatever you want to say, correct English syntax, that's not how sentences work. And so it would have corrected it. And so the question, though, what I like what you're putting here, I'll bring this to my son, when he expressed woo-hoo based on a prompt that said something about talk about your most favorite or your most exciting, he jumped into a language attempt to express that. And his teacher and the teaching of writing at that point, and I'm telling you, my son is no different than any other kid. And in fact, even my own experiences writing, because I think this, you know, I don't know that I essentially even believe I'm a good writer today, but that ability to imagine and write, that's not how we teach writing. We teach writing so that they get the right answer, or that they produce the really horrendous, crappy. In fifth grade, it's not the five paragraph essay, it's the five sentence paragraph. Oh, all of that coming together. And what you're, I think what you're saying, John, is that now that artificial intelligence can produce the B minus crappy passable essay, whether it's a five sentence paragraph for fifth graders or whether it's a five paragraph essay for high school kids, maybe it's time to stop doing that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, your son's expression of woohoo to that prompt is real. It's human. It's communicative. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. The when we look at how we respond to writing, when we read something, there's always an underlying set of values. And the criteria that go along with, in the past, No Child Left Behind, now Common Core or other standardized metrics or like the AP test, none of the criteria that is used to assess those things has anything to do with what we actually value as humans when we read. Nobody ever stood up and said, you know what I really liked about that thing? It was written in five paragraphs. You know what I really liked about that thing? It didn't have any contractions, because contractions are wrong. You know what I liked about that thing? It used in conclusion before the conclusion. That is not how we as humans respond to writing. And I don't know why we would subject students to writing curriculum that treats it that way.
I don't know either. The number is 844-967-2789. Busted Pencils. John Warner, ChatGPT, Artificial Intelligence, The End of Writing. We'll be right back.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one. They're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
And the people in the house,
made out of ticky-tacky, busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789. Tim from Rise Against Punk Rock, Ticky Tacky. Our guest, though, is not Ticky Tacky. That's John Warner. He is our writing extraordinaire expert here talking about artificial intelligence. Recently, out there, you can try it, ChatGPT. Ask it a question, tell it to write a paragraph for you. It will produce original text. And John, we didn't hit that in the first segment of the show, the idea that this, you know, and we'll call it intelligence at this point, but I do want to come back and even talk about that word itself. This artificial intelligence isn't Alexa or like Siri, where you are commanding it to do something and it essentially goes out to the web and finds websites or and things like that and spits it back. It's not going out and copying and pasting from the web. It's producing original text. You know, and so from the standpoint, it's not plagiarized work then if I turn this into you, correct?
Well, no, you haven't written it, but it would not be caught by any plagiarism detector. It's not cutting and pasting anything from the internet. It's not assembling blocks of existing text from various sources. It is creating original text through this pattern matching, this artificial intelligence that is trained on syntax. But it doesn't know anything. Like I was trying to have some fun with it, and I tried to get it to rewrite the lyrics to Steve Miller Band's "The Joker."
That was That was great.
Said the prompt was write a song about a guy who is sometimes called the space cowboy, sometimes called the gangster of love, sometimes called Maurice, but is really a joker who speaks of the pompousness of love. And the first verse is, he's a mystery, a walking contradiction, a restless soul, always on the move. Sometimes he's the space cowboy. It's nothing like the song, right? Now, artificial intelligence would pop up and say, it looks like you're trying to get me to rewrite the lyrics to the Steve Miller Band song, The Joker. Mm-hmm. This is just doing it. I could ask the prompt again, and it would create a whole new version of the song. Over and over and over again, an infinite number. I mean, maybe it would repeat itself eventually in the sort of monkeys on typewriters hammering away would create Shakespeare. But it's just a syntax generating machine.
What you just said, though, it won't repeat itself. And so, you know, if we'll get into this too, you know, how do I detect it? But a teacher takes and copies and pastes my punk rock prose that I introduced, the punk rock and education that I started the show with, and puts it out and looks for it, it's not going to come back as a hit. It's not going to come back as plagiarized. And then if that teacher wants to go to ChatGPT and type in this similar kind of question about punk rock and education, it's not going to produce what it produced for me.
Those tools, the sort of plagiarism detection tools, either something like Turnitin or the teacher method of I'm going to type in a couple of unique strings of language and see if it pops up on the web, that is no longer in play. It won't be detectable that way. Now, in theory, there could be some safeguards around this. ChatGPT can put in, OpenAI can put in like a digital watermark that shows up when it's submitted into like a learning management system or whatever. But honestly, like whatever, it's all nonsense. Like, let's just stop having students write this stuff and get them to do stuff, get them to write things that they're interested in writing. You know, my experience working with students is they actually do like to express themselves and communicate and think and learn. And the problem with the writing instruction we've done in that your son experienced, or thousands and millions of students have experienced now, is we haven't oriented around those values. It's been around passing these assessments. And
is that the difference?
Can dodge this whole problem if we give students something that is enjoyable to do and interesting to do.
Well, you said something to me. So, you know, writing has been, and so let's now talk about the teaching and learning of writing, because artificial intelligence, at least according to John Warner, isn't going to replace the teaching of writing, because the teaching of writing was something that we have a lot of work to do, and we've had a lot of work to do, because in the past we weren't really teaching writing. We weren't teaching, as you said, communication, thinking, expression. We were teaching essentially correct syntax, how to do it the right way, which was very painful for me. And as my son said, you know, my goodness, I'll never write another paragraph again that starts with woohoo or try to express that, because he was expressing, he was trying to communicate a point there. And that's not what we do when we teach writing. And so here we have this opportunity. And I'm wondering, you know, John, we're coming up here on the bottom of the half hour as we're coming up on news. But is this, and I think I know your answer, but is this a way to finally start to teach? Maybe let's not call it writing anymore. Creative thinking, communication, expression, those values that feed into quality writing.
Well, that's what I would call writing. But the values are the right question. Is, are we going to get down to valuing the aspects of the act of writing as thinking and as a communicative act, or are we going to keep banging our heads against formulas and simulations and exactly what this AI can produce?
Well, we're not going to bang our heads here on Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 844-967-2789. ChatGPT, Artificial Intelligence Writing, John Warner. Is this the time to really start writing and talking about how to teach and learn writing? Back after the break. Through the Undertow, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 844-967-2789. Educated educators talking education. One of my favorite guests back on the show, John Warner, talking about ChatGPT, artificial intelligence, the future of teaching and learning, particularly writing. John, during the break, though, before we were going to get into saying, is this an opportunity to really talk about teaching writing well, there is this moment where you were kind of like, okay, should we keep this quiet away from parents? I mean, what happens to this once kids, because I mean, the reality is that high school kids and middle school kids already know about this technology. Should there be a fear? Should we lock it up? Do we keep it away from kids? What do parents do knowing this is out there? And again, not that you're a parenting expert or anything like that, but I mean, just, you know, quick thoughts. And then we're going to go to Joanne on the phone from Madison.
I think what I would encourage parents to do is to listen to their kids about this stuff. You know, one of the things I hear from a lot of parents, particularly of, say, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th graders, as they get into sort of the canned writing for assessments and that kind of stuff, is how miserable it makes their kids, right?
Right.
They just come to hate writing. Creative kids, kids who otherwise love to read and write, like it becomes a misery. If that is your child's experience in school, I think it's worth examining if there can be something done at the community level and the school level around, is there a better way we can engage our students with writing? And in that sense, ChatGPT can ultimately become a tool. It could be, okay, if ChatGPT can do it, let's not have students do it. Mm. Or there are ways to incorporate this kind of technology into writing lessons that help students think about, say, rhetorical situations or how writing works and that kind of stuff. It's nothing to be, shunted away. It's nothing we should be terrified of. It's something we should be aware of and recognize as just part of the way the world works now. The same way, I heard a lot of math teachers say, "Oh, this is like what happened when the graphing calculator was introduced." To math, they said, "Well, we don't need to teach math anymore." And the reality is, we adjust to the world we live in, and we should be able to do that. We have to be mindful about it, and we have to be thoughtful about it.
Well, we make the changes as they come on. Joanne from Madison, Wisconsin, you are on with Tim and John. Joanne, what do you think? Are you going to be using artificial intelligence to do all of your writing from now on, Joanne?
I don't think so, because I don't want to sound like a robot. But to make that kind of point clear, I'm wondering if you've heard of an educator who's done a Turing test type of exercise with students. And I'm not just talking about the movie Turing test, but putting, let's say, one stream of material as coming from the computer, and then the other stream as coming from a human being, and maybe asking students, which do you prefer? Do you prefer the monotonous, kind of well-structured but boring stream, or the other? I mean, maybe students will say, I like that computer stream. You know, that's where I'm going. But maybe they wouldn't be able to detect the difference. I mean, that's the Turing test. I'm sure your speakers know all about that, and I'll just let them riff on it.
John, what do you think?
Well, so, you know, the Turing test, the famous test of whether or not artificial intelligence can fool a panel of humans into believing that it's human. This stuff gets pretty darn close in some ways, certainly in terms of syntax. Now, the actual rules of the Turing test, I think it probably couldn't. But the point is well taken from Joanne. My experience with students, and I actually do these activities where I sort of put two texts up about the same subject or similar subjects and ask them which they, sometimes it depends what you ask. If you ask them which is better, they will often pick the boring, correct one. If you ask them which they prefer, it's the one that's actually livelier and more interesting and more engaging. But in that one, I've put in a couple of mechanical errors and grammatical errors, which they've been trained to see as the worst thing that can happen in a piece of writing. So really, it gets back to what we were talking about earlier. It is, what do you value? And in a lot of ways, students have been conditioned by school, by the structures of school and the incentives. I don't think this is teachers' fault. I think this is reacting to the incentives the system produces, to value things that are not actually good other than to get a grade.
Well, think about that. I mean, just the way you explained that the students, the quote, human writing one, you throw a couple errors in there intentionally. And in fact, you even use the word, they're trained to see that. And so when they see an error, there's almost this qualitative then assessment of it must not be good because of an error, and therefore I'm going to pick boring over here without errors, because I know that if I'm error-free, that's how I continue making my progress through the system.
They've been conditioned to see that as what's valued by the system, right? Rather than interesting expression, rather than the exploration of an idea, it really is, can I write according to the rules that have been prescribed for me? And the successful students get very good at following those rules. Mm-hmm. And you know, at the colleges where I've worked as a first-year writing instructor, they tend to have been successful students. And then they get into a college writing class, and it's as though the rug has been pulled out from under them when I start talking about a wholly different set of values. That was one of my motives behind writing about this stuff and writing The Writer's Practice, a book of curriculum that embodies this set of values that I think we should. But you know, a lot of damage has been done before students reach that stage, and it's the biggest damage is how they feel about writing, how they view writing, that it is sort of a misery, that it's done for school, that surface level features are the things that are most important. It's nothing that we would actually value or respond to it if we're acting like humans.
I wonder what you just made me think about this though. So now moving back to using ChatGPT and any other artificial intelligence that can do this, messing around here, but it can do the misery part then of writing, getting that right. And is it then if ChatGPT and artificial intelligence can, you know, overcome the misery and get the rules right, is it then what we're possibly presented with, the opportunity to maybe even take a paragraph of text from ChatGPT and now put it in front of students and ask them, how do you make it better?
Sure. You can use it that way. I mean, you know, in my newsletter about this past weekend, and I used some examples from a prompt I gave it
Where can they get your newsletter?
They can get that at the Biblioracle Recommend, biblioracle.substack.com. And, you know, I started with a very generic prompt, and then about writing write the opening scene to a short story about an eighth grade girl in suburban Chicago in the 1970s. She's in a room wondering if a boy named Billy, who is in her math class, likes her. Have her go to a record collection and choose an album that reflects her dilemma about Billy. She chose Love Will Keep Us Together by the Captain and Tennille, by the way, according to the ChatGPT. Maybe not the great, not a super moody, I'm a lovelorn song, but it is from the 1970s. And then it wasn't great. So I said, rewrite the first response, but this time describe the room in additional detail, and it gets a little better. And so I can do this because I can evaluate narrative prose, right? Mm-hmm. This is my background, both as a writer and a teacher. And if a student is able to play around with it and have that critical evaluation that allows them to produce something good in ChatGPT, that's not that skill has some value. I don't know. I have to think more about, like, is that writing? Is that not writing? I don't know. But that is a form of thinking and a form of almost play, intellectual play, that would be, you know, is worth being able to do. I think it has some value to students and to the world.
I wonder though too, even though you said that, the potential of going, like, is the idea of engaging like that just something, some form of a new engaged learning that might come out of the using ChatGPT in this unique way that you just talked about?
Yeah, the potential for this is enormous. And in the right hands, it could really help. The problem is, it's also, you know, OpenAI literally means open. Anybody can access this stuff. It is also in the wrong hands. But you can, you can, like, get it so it will help students with feedback that would probably be pretty good feedback. One of the things I did, if they go to that post at biblioracle.substack.com, they can see that I also asked the ChatGPT to evaluate the two versions of the story it had written. I said, which is a better example of narrative writing and why is the example better? Cite the specific text that supports your conclusion. And its evaluation is pretty good. It's not really on target with what I would cite as a teacher and really the most important parts, but it's not wrong. It's not as right as it could be, but it's not wrong. And so you could in theory put that prompt behind a scrim so the student doesn't have to give it the prompt. It's just do this evaluation once a student writes something. And that could provide some, some feedback that would help a student continue their work. Ultimately, though, writing is meant to be read, and ChatGPT can't read. It can evaluate. It can't even evaluate. It can respond with syntax to a prompt. That's all it can do. So we can't be thinking that this is smart. We can't be thinking of it as general artificial intelligence. It is a syntax generating machine. It's very good at that. It's amazing at that. And I encourage everybody to go play around with it. Try to break it. Give it something it can't do. And you'll find all kinds of things it can't do. But that's what we should be doing with this right now. Seeing what kind of tool or toy or whatever this is, it is. So we can make use of it where it makes sense and not introduce it where it doesn't make sense.
Oh, man. It's not thinking. Our guest, John Warner, he's a writer, editor, speaker, consultant. His two of his newest books, Why They Can't Write, Killing the Paragraph Essay, or the Five-Paragraph Essay and Other Necessities, and The Writer's Practice, Building Confidence in Your Nonfiction Writing. You can also check him out on Inside Higher Education. And John, where's that other biblio?
Biblioracle, the Biblioracle recommends Biblioracle, like biblio, bibli combined with oracle, .substack.com. If you just Google Biblioracle, you'll find me because I am the Daily Oracle.
And they could Google John Warner and they'll find you too. But
they also might find the former senator from Virginia, but I'm the other guy.
So if I'm going to ask ChatGPT, find me the true John Warner. We're going to have that. John, can I keep you on just for one more segment?
And, absolutely.
Okay, the number is 844-967-2789. Joanne from Madison, we appreciate your call. You can give us a call too. ChatGPT, try it out. Put it in a question. Have it write something for you. Give it to your fifth grader and tell them they no longer have to do their homework tonight because they can use ChatGPT. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, Educated Educators, Talking Education, back in 30 seconds. Nah. Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education. The number is 844-967-2789. ChatGPT, Artificial Intelligence, guest John Warner, teaching and learning writing. What are we going to do? You can have ChatGPT write a paragraph, write a couple paragraphs. It can distinguish. It makes original text. It wrote an awesome, well, I don't know, awesome, but you said B minus, John, passable comparison of punk rock and education. That's what we do on Busted Pencils every week is we put punk rock and education together. It did a B minus type of job of talking about education, punk rock, liberation, freedom. So I get a homework assignment then, John, that says something just like that. You know, go home tonight and write a paragraph that compares punk rock and education. In the past, a paragraph, maybe I could do that in 15, 20 minutes by myself. When I did that and put that into the ChatGPT, now this was depending on how many people were actually using ChatGPT, it was in under 25 seconds that it produced that B minus paragraph.
Yeah.
Why would I ever do homework again with anything other than ChatGPT, John?
Yeah. I mean, again, we keep talking. These are not new questions about homework, right? Homework, we always ask why homework. And if the point of homework is just kids are supposed to do homework, we're going to have to get more clever about what we ask them to do when this sort of technology can do it in seconds and it's indetectable as plagiarism. And even if, you can begin to say, oh, it's too good. It's too proficient. It's too fluent. I'm sure you can tell the ChatGPT to put in a couple of mistakes. So it looks, or the kid can alter it themselves. It really, the newsletter post I wrote, it really is my message is the ChatGPT cannot disrupt anything that's worth keeping. If that homework assignment can be done by ChatGPT in 25 seconds, then maybe we got to think about what we're assigning for homework, or maybe we've got to think about assigning homework at all. If we're asking students to do work at home, it should be something that they are interested in and engaged by, rather than, hey, you just got to do this because I said you got to do it. And compliance being the most important part of that equation, rather than the learning.
But that whole idea, though, too, what you were just talking about, I like, the question you're asking in that post, does it give us the ability to really re-examine all of the quote things that we ask students to do? And because in one sense, if ChatGPT can already do it at a quote B minus level, then is this now the professional development opportunity for teachers to ask themselves the hard question of, hey, if ChatGPT can do this, I need to think of a better assignment. Too simple?
Well, it's part of it.
Okay.
But on several levels, it's part of it. One part of it is let's give students something that they're going to be interested in doing, right? That's a big guard against using something like ChatGPT. But I think it is a mistake to believe you can simply out-prompt the artificial intelligence. It is an incredibly proficient BSer. So it will produce some bit of writing to whatever prompt you give it. Even if you say, like, use an example from your life that relates to the intersection of punk rock and education, it will just make something up. And mm-hmm. unless you know your students, you won't really know if that's BS. What it can't do is think. It can't make intuitive leaps. It cannot make discoveries in the writing. One of my mantras about writing is it is both the expression of and the exploration of an idea. So when I ask students to write something after they've written it, I often ask them, what did you discover while you were writing this? What surprised you about what you came up with while you were writing? But one of the things we should recognize is that requires instructors to have the available time and resources to interact with their students. I mean, that is the real way around this technology. It's students and teachers working together in a collaborative way where they know and interact with each other. So we're not outsourcing these things to an algorithm.
What about, I mean, you know, we're getting close to the end of the show, but you made me think of something here. If we're going to teach writing, right, we have to know, how do I know if somebody is actually a good teacher of writing? Because even the teaching of writing, I will tell you that in my teacher education classes, my instruction on how to be a writing instructor was pretty much teaching me how kids can write bad 5-paragraph essays in high school, or teaching fifth graders how to write really bad 5-sentence paragraphs. Mm-hmm. Boy, the challenge now is to say, do we have a whole re-education of teachers that ChatGPT might open us up to? It's kind of daunting, John.
Yeah, that's certainly part of it, but I think that's not as daunting as it seems, provided that we have a system where these more important values are what's important in terms of how we evaluate writing. I actually think more people will enjoy teaching writing if we infuse it with humanity and human values around it. And I think the kind of feedback we give will be more tied to the kind of human response. And the teaching of writing will not seem so mysterious. But yeah, there's rethinking that has to be done around all of these aspects of the system in which students learn to write in school. It's been off the rails for a couple of decades or more at this point, maybe longer than that, really.
Well, we will.
30, 40 years. So, yeah. So we got to do better than that.
We have to do a lot better. ChatGPT, John Warner, our guest, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. John, thanks for being on the show. Everybody, thanks for listening. See you next week.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
We are Busted Pencils!